Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Keeping It Real with Beth and Darren.
Good morning.
Good morning. So I'm on my elliptical again this morning.
You should see the smile on Beth's face this morning. It's only for one reason, one reason only. She came down wearing, I guess it's some older jeans that you have, or no?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, they are older jeans.
Came down.
They haven't seen the light of day in a couple years.
Came down, and all I can say is, wow. Beth has shed some major pounds. Or not even pounds, inches, pounds altogether. She came down, and this outfit that she's wearing really highlights how well this diet has worked for her. And she's just elated. And she couldn't wait to come downstairs and show.
It's like, where's my skinny shirt? Like,
that.
I'm not even going to blow dry my hair. I need everybody to see this.
Right. She's in such a good mood.
Yeah, and we may be poor, but at least I'm fit.
Right. And what as the saying goes, nothing tastes good as thin feels.
Yeah, it's been, I never thought I'd be able to do it. I don't have this kind of willpower to just continue to do a liquid diet. And I'm not saying I'm going to do it for the rest of my life. But I have to say, the thing that has really made me stick to it is that the food doesn't taste gross. And I still have food. I still have meals. I still have snacks. I have nuts. I almost feel like I finally know. You know, you don't have a bag of nuts. You have six nuts.
Who wants to have a bag of nuts?
Right? You're supposed to have six nuts. All the different, like the tricks of the trade. Even though I've been a Weight Watcher my whole life, I haven't really been having the processed stuff. And I have to say, I did go back to my sweeteners. And the last year, I was doing more of like, I was having an Arnold Palmer, so it had sugar in it. And I was putting extra calories in my diet where I didn't even realize it. So I could have been adding
50 calories here,
right.
20 calories there, 100 there.
Right.
Different meals.
And it's
and
not,
that's 300 to 400 calories in a day of more than you supposed to have. And then over the course of a week, that's a pound.
Right.
Right?
It's 2 pounds. And I mean, at my highest, it was getting scary. I was really getting very depressed. I just showed.
Beth busted out a photo. Of a recent.
Recent. It's like it's in February.
Yeah, of a bar mitzvah that we went to, and I didn't really pay much attention to the photo. And now I'm looking at the photo versus now, and the contrast is simply amazing.
Well, and the thing was. I was.
And then
I
our daughter saw our photo of us when we were like 22.
Yeah, she
in
goes,
Jamaica.
Wow. And I was wearing like a fishnet bathing suit. Yeah. And the crazy thing is, back then, I still thought I was heavy. I obviously have body dysmorphic disorder because I thought I was heavy back then. I was always covering my lower half. I think I'll always cover my lower half anyway.
That was a really nice bathing suit back in when it's
my fishnet?
That fishnet one. Yeah.
Fishnet one. You liked it.
I can't believe there was actually a time when you wore a fishnet bathing suit.
Well, I have to say, I have a cute bathing suit body from here up.
She's pointing to her waist up. She's fine.
All right, you know, but it's the lower half that always needs work. So I've always, for my whole life, I've had that complex of my lower half. And it's definitely a difficult. The only time I feel like I was really comfortable with my lower half was when our daughter was only like, and I had lost a ton of weight. I got super skinny, but then I got sick all the time.
Yeah, you were almost emaciated.
I was so skinny that like a size 2 was like big on me. I really was skinny that time. That was when my brother got married.
That was, yeah, I remember the photos. Yeah, you looked like almost like a little girl. Like, you were so thin.
Yeah, I was very thin. I was on Weight Watchers.
I know, and not that that's what I want. So
I know.
All right, I don't want.
That particular weight, I don't think I'll be able to see that again. But I do feel like, at least with this diet, I'm almost down, like, close to down 10 pounds. And it's been, how long have I been doing this now? My second month? Right?
I think 5 or 6 weeks, right?
Six, no, maybe more like 7 weeks now.
All right, 7 weeks.
Yeah, but all that's right. A lot. I mean, for me.
As a percentage of body weight, that's a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's really good, so. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Thank you and thank
Itogenics. Yes.
But away from the elation that you're feeling, some messed up stuff that's going on the last few days in
the world, right? I mean, that news about the plane crash being intentional, I guess. I didn't really realize that the pilot...
He's depressed.
And they say that he ran into the side of the mountains on purpose. Is that what happened?
Yeah. And he wasn't letting the pilot in.
Right, and
or the co-pilot.
Is that what happened?
They said on the black box that they heard banging on the door to let him in, and he wouldn't let him in. So he crashed the plane and he kept the guy out. That was it.
Supposedly the parents of the co-pilot or whatever came, unbeknownst to them, that it was intentional, and I guess they found out they were going there to bereave the loss of their son.
Right.
And when they show up, they were informed actually what happened, which...
Horrible.
Obviously, lose a child in and of itself is devastating, and then to be told by the authorities there that your kid is the one who intentionally caused it. Oh, God.
Yeah.
At what they must be going through. And then the other thing...
But then do they get sued? Like, I don't know how that works.
I don't know. I don't really know how the law applies.
I guess they can't get sued for their son.
Anybody can sue anybody. They can be sued. I mean, anybody can get sued for anything. I can sue you right now if I want to.
Right. Well, yeah, you can sue me. I got no money to pay you, so you can sue me all you want.
Sue me? You can't get water from a rock.
Right, exactly.
So, and the other thing, too, what happened in the city yesterday with this explosion?
The gas explosion and a building was, like, leveled to the ground.
One person is missing. Yeah, that's...
What kind of building was it? I don't even know.
I don't know, but it was on 2nd Avenue is where it happened.
Yeah, some people on Facebook that I know were, like, posting that they knew people who live, like, right there, and it was super scary.
Hold on, let's see.
Oh, no, it set up the 30 injured.
Yeah.
Well, and here's the scary thing. Like, we've been joking about the fact that the Con Ed trucks keep on coming up and down our block, and they've been digging up holes all over the street. But it's not funny. Obviously, there's
no.
Like,
it's not funny. No,
gas.
There's
nothing funny about
gas. Do I ever laugh about gas?
No, I'm not saying that. We had said a few weeks ago that why is it that, you know, we get these robocalls about the taste of New Rochelle 5 times a day, but why aren't we getting a robocall that says if you smell gas, call Con Ed immediately? We've been having reports of X, Y, and Z. There are no robocalls about seriously dangerous situations, and that kind of irks me. Because it's like the boy who cried wolf, you know?
You know how they always say about, like, you know, the problem is you can't smell special gas? Well, that's not true.
You can?
No, well, in its actual form, you can't, but they make it so that you can smell it.
Right.
The purpose is that they're...
Is that really?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's the case. Natural gas in its purest form, I don't think you can actually, a person can smell it, but when I think the gas that comes through our house and stuff is, I believe, purposely modified in some way so that you can smell
it. And that's why with our wonderful stove that we've had for the last 17 years.
Let's not talk about our stove.
Well, we're not getting a new stove yet, but I think this is the year where we're probably going to have to, because you do put the oven, when I put the oven on, it takes about 10 minutes to warm up and you smell gas for that amount of time. So nobody can actually light a match nearby, or else it's going to be a really volatile situation.
Is that what we have?
Amana. Listen, they don't make appliances like they used to. This thing lasted.
No,
I mean, it's not the best thing in the world.
No, it's a good stove.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we got the holidays coming up, and it's going to be... It's a bit tough when you got to cook a turkey. let me tell you. You want to put that turkey in at like 10 in the morning if you really want it to be done by the end
of the
day.
Right, we got Pesach. Coming up next week.
Countdown to Pesach.
Yeah, it's
full house.
Are we gonna have a full house?
Well, we gotta get in touch with the Kellys because it's actually Easter Sunday, so we need to find out what day works for them too. And my cousin just told me that Friday works for them, so we gotta.
We have Passover here at the house for 2 nights, and usually the same group of people come, but we never. It's always a mix match of which night people come. So 1 year, like I said, our friend the Kellys may come the first night, they may come the second night. That may not work with our cousins. They may come the other night.
Well,
so one night we can have 6 people on one night, and then we can have 18 people on the next.
Yeah, I kind of like to have, it's always good to have like 12 to 14 on both nights, because then it's manageable. When you start having like 20 on one night and then 24 on another, it's a lot of work.
I can't wait to have your dad here leading the theater.
I know. It's happening already. I can't believe it. It's already that time of year.
we do a decent theater overall. We have a
I think this year we should just have like the kids in here and they could just read.
You keep saying kids like.
Well, they're not even a kid. Well, that's right, because they're older. But it'll be good because this table could actually, even though there's the opening, we could just,
pass it down.
Right. This is a perfect thing. I don't know. We'll figure it out. But, yeah, I mean, I do want to figure out a way, because I also asked my cousin Lee and his wife if they want to come, and we always love them coming too, and your sister's coming for both nights, so we're going to have a lot of people here.
It's funny, so people always ask us, like, you know, what are the plans for Passover?
We don't know.
We always say, we're having it. We don't know the details.
Right. And they're like, what time?
Who knows? Maybe we know.
Come when you get here.
You come when you come.
Right.
Well, actually, that's not true. We do have to start the seder at a certain time.
Right.
They got to really annoy your dad if we just tell people, come when you come.
No. I mean, I normally say, like, between 5 and 6. I mean, it's because it's on a weekend this year, and it's also during spring break for people, it's kind of easier for them to just come a little early if they want to come and help.
I love the Passover theater.
I know.
It's one of my favorite holidays. That and Thanksgiving. Yeah. I love Thanksgiving. I love having the Passover theater. Very, very cool. I don't really have to, goes back to, don't have to worry about going out and buying people. Yes. You know?
Yeah.
It's not stressful that. It's stressful for you. A little bit.
Well, yeah. Well, and my mom. I mean, she does a lot, so we'll have to figure out. I mean, she already said.
Is mom going to show up with trays of food? The Passover Seder starts in Boyden Beach.
Yeah, they're leaving today.
But no, they should. This food is being transported from Boyden. All right, mom is already packed. Mom has already packed the car.
It's going to cross many state lines. Thank God it's not matzah contraband.
It's my in-laws take the Seder on the road.
Yeah, I don't think you can find matzah in Alabama. So, they're going
to
drive.
I would love to find out, like, how many places. Well, first of all, okay, a little geography thing. Your parents are not driving through Alabama.
No, they're just driving to Orlando and then getting on the auto train.
Okay,
or wherever that is.
They do drive to Georgia, right? No.
They just go to Florida. Maybe it's Jupiter? I don't know. There's this auto train stop, like, right near Orlando, and they get on it, and then it takes you all the way to Virginia, and then they drive from Virginia.
And your parents say to the conductor, just be careful of the theater stuff that we have in the car.
Yeah. I don't think they give them instructions. Yeah, the conductors are having to sit later below. Look at all this matzah fry. Who's got a pan? Mm. Let's fry this up.
Oh, that's the other thing, too. I look forward to this.
I'm going to have to watch out with this diet, though. I could put on some serious poundage. I better, like, be careful.
You got to be careful. The first step is recognizing that you just have to be aware of, right?
Yeah. I have a little matzah fry, not a lot of matzah fry.
Yeah, I mean, at every single place where you could have attempted something, you've been really good. Movie theaters with popcorn.
It's like kryptonite.
You've been staying away from desserts at dinner. When we've gone to bar mitzvah, you've been very selective in terms of what you're having.
It's
going out to dinner, you and I have been sharing entrees.
Yeah. I mean, the only thing I have to say is that I do have a lot of, like, I'm hungry right now.
You are hungry?
Yeah.
I'm hungry too.
Well, you didn't eat anything either. You just had coffee.
I just have coffee, my morning coffee. And the other thing, I made coffee for you, but now you're not drinking it because we have no Splenda.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, not Splenda, my Stevia.
Oh, Stevia, that's right. I lose track of which is the one.
Stevia is the one that's better for you.
Why is Stevia better for you?
It's made from real sugar or something, but it's like less calories. Who knows?
Does it have a few calories, Stevia?
I don't even have, no. Actually, I think it might have zero. Whatever it is, it's like natural. It's natural fake stuff. I don't know, but it's a natural sweetener. I have no idea what that means. But all I know is that last year I saw this documentary set up, and it was all about the fact that you putting too much processed foods in your system and how terrible it is, and that's what made me want to start putting all that sugary stuff back in, and I was like, that was a mistake.
Should we tell everybody the cool opportunity that you got for us to do?
We can talk about Primo Parents.
I was pretty psyched about it. So what is it that we're going to be doing?
So it's this new YouTube channel or something called Primo Parents, and they reached out to me and they want us to do a video about our parenting style and, like, tips that we have. So we got to shoot it before the 1st and send it to them. So it's pretty easy.
And this is going to be on something sports specific?
Yeah, it's on kids sports. because I gave him a couple ideas, and I thought the kids' sports thing would be a fun topic to talk about. So
now, who's actually going to shoot the video? We have to do it ourselves?
No, I think we're just, you know what, I think the easiest for us is just to sit in front of the screen here, you know, do it on a computer. I mean, then that way it'll just be done, and then we can send it to them.
I want to make sure I look good for it.
I mean, we could have our daughter, you know, shoot it on her camera, because her camera does video too, but we'll, you know,
we like spend about a minute or two bragging about our daughter for a second.
Oh my God.
So
see, after all those ridiculously hard classes.
So I'm annoying. We are, you know, we're always super thrilled about what our daughter does with a special program at Rochelle called PAVE. And
it's performing arts and visual something.
Santana. Okay, we'll pay attention to you shortly, but let us finish telling the story, okay? And I know that my daughter is very talented artist. I guess otherwise I don't get a chance to see enough of what she's doing on a daily or weekly basis. So I still lose sight of her time, but she just doesn't bring it home. So yesterday they had an induction for the National Art Honor Society, and we had the opportunity to go there, show up around 7:45. To go into the building, and first of all, the New Rochelle High School is just gigantic. It is the size of a little mini college campus.
Yeah,
it really is.
And the wing that they're in,
the wing that they're in is beautiful. Like you walk, I mean, it really is. Like
the school's 100 years old, so this is like they.
But you look in it, yeah. This part of the school is just phenomenal. And they went upstairs. They had served some coffee and some bagels, and they had a chance to walk around and take a look at the exhibits of all of the work that the students have done since the, oh my God, Santana, you cannot go on the elliptical. While
I'm
mommy's
trying to go on the elliptical. It's
that's
hilarious.
Pretty funny. But the work that they showed of all the students
is
the most impressive thing I've ever seen. And then our daughter took us to show the pieces that she did. And there was one particular piece that she drew of a man with a little boy, and I think it was the title of it was called Curiosity. And it had this man with a boy on his knee, and the boy is pointing to something on the ground. And I'm looking at it, and I asked my daughter, I said, oh, did you have a picture of something that you copied?
We've asked her that tracing question.
Well, not the tracing. No, I wouldn't even say tracing. Yeah. It was something that you were looking at and to put that together. And she goes, no, I drew it. And I must have asked the same question like six times in different ways, because when I was looking at it, I just couldn't believe that she, not that I didn't believe in her, I just thought the piece was so phenomenal that I just couldn't get the fact that she did this from absolutely nothing. And the thing was just the most amazing piece I've ever seen.
Yeah.
I'm not saying from her, but it was incredible.
Well, and the other thing too that they showed, which was really cool, is I guess last year the school was struck by lightning and there was like a part of a slate roof that fell apart or something, and from the slate, each of the students and some of the teachers, they actually did self-portraits. So they took pictures of themselves. And then they painted themselves in each of these pieces of slate, and then they put it on the wall.
And one of the actual speakers, I don't know if it was the superintendent or I forget.
The one who played the flute, or what?
No, but somebody said the thing about what's amazing about these artists is that where most people see destruction, these artists see an opportunity for creativity.
Right. Well, right? And the big thing that he said, which I really loved, was how, you know, We came out of, like, in the industrial age, that's when classrooms were built, and that's when structure was formed, and the importance of math and science and English.
Which are still important.
Which are still important. You still need to know how to spell, and you still need to know how to say anyways. I'm not saying that, and you need to know how to add, but calculators are super helpful. But anyway, and QuickBooks adds it up for you, too, so there are tools to help you. That being said, he was saying that the big thing now is that we're in an age of creativity, and it's so important to foster creativity because the visionaries of tomorrow are the children that are sitting in that room. And the talent is just to enable them to truly realize their talent and learn how to cultivate it. It's such a gift, and I feel so fortunate that we have our children going to this school district. And it's funny because I spoke to a friend of mine yesterday who has to know someone who's moving from Florida to Westchester. And once again, you know, she was advocating to her friend, oh, you should check out New Rochelle. And the person said, oh, but the school. You know, I worry about the schools. And it's the most frustrating thing to hear, because really what they're saying is, it's not the schools, people. It's the fact that you're afraid that you're coming from a sheltered life and you don't want your kid to be with a diverse population. And this is the most diverse population in the county, I think. And they all are friends, and they are doing things together and creating beautiful things, and they're bright and amazing kids. And for a parent to say, I'm worried about the schools, is so short-sighted, because those kids that go to those sheltered environments come out feeling like, you know, oh, I'm better than you, I'm this, I'm that. And they're not. And it's frustrating. And you know what? I feel like by the time our kids finish school, they can go school they want. They can go to a city school, they can go to a rural school, they can go anywhere, because they're used to being with so many different people. And that's real life, and I think it's really a gift that you can give your kid to not say, oh, I'm worried about this. Worry about your kid, and worry about how well they're going to do in school, and don't worry that the test scores are lower than the best school district in the nation. I mean, really, it's like, what's the point? Mm-hmm. So that, to me, and yesterday, Darren always laughed at me, because he's like, are you crying again? And I was like still in the middle of my cleanse. I'm like, listen, I'm very emotional when I'm on a cleanse.
She's been very
I'm
emotional.
I'm a puddle of emotion.
You have been. I swear, over the last week, I hope it wasn't anything because of me.
No, I'm just
Beth has cried like 3 or 4 times this week.
The movie.
Still,
Alice has ripped me raw. It's just like that.
That started it off.
That was my catalyst for the waterworks.
And then the other night you're talking to your mom.
Oh, and I started crying.
And then yesterday you started crying.
During this, but I cried the year before too. I don't know why. I just feel like, because I'm so excited for our daughter.
You're excited, but you're also stressed.
I'm super stressed. I went down to the basement and our wonderful centerpieces and the glue started falling off again. I'm like, oh God, kill me. So it's not easy, folks. But
Beth has a tremendous amount on her plate right now. That's the truth. It's overwhelming.
It is.
The fact is that we have a bar mitzvah for our son coming up. We have some big financial obligations coming up. You really are the only one bringing any income into this family right now. Hopefully, I'm hoping at some point that will change again once my business is off the ground, but it's not right now, which is a reality. And all these things, plus we got Passover coming up next week, and we got a whole bunch of other stuff that we're doing. It's a lot of stress for one person to have to deal with. And whether or not you actually express that, you know, to everybody openly and complain about it, which you don't, or bottle it up inside, which is what you do.
And then I just cry on the toilet.
Right, and then it manifests itself in tears. That's what happens. And I appreciate the fact that you are doing everything that you're doing.
Thank you.
Start crying now.
I'm not crying. Okay? I'm not crying. I'm okay this morning.
Hopefully, once we get past our son's bar mitzvah, we will get out on the other end and start our road to recovery.
Yes, exactly. You know, I guess it's like one of these things where we'll look back on it and say, man, 2015 hit us hard.
Yes.
Hit us like a cannonball, man. It was a tough year, but...
That's okay.
I know. Meanwhile, our daughter went to a college fair yesterday and started handing me all the flyers and the information. And once again, FIT tuition, $6,700. Please.
And there are some
God
out there
convince
that...
Her. And there, please God convince her that that's the school she should be going to.
And there are some that are $67.
Right. And, oh, we have great sorority and fraternity and life and la, 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 la.
Yeah.
Like, come on. Really? I'm like, you can go on exchange to Italy 1 year. There's so much you can do.
So much you can do.
You could even live there, and it's still cheaper than going to $60,000 school in the middle of nowhere.
Yep.
I mean,
FIT, if you hear us, start courting our daughter now, please.
I know. Well, and then she also did talk to the person that you met, and guess what? They have a studio art program.
Do they still have the pond?
They absolutely have the pond, and they still have Sut Jolly there. I, you know, former professor. Who's like a big cheese on campus now.
Well,
but I don't think that they'll take her like that quickly, just because I haven't really given much money to them lately. If they need to donate a wing or donate $50 or something.
Yeah, just maybe produce a video for them or something. Do something where you're promoting the school.
I always promote the school. You know what? I have to say, I never would have wound up in publicity or TV if it weren't for UMass. Honestly, my very first internship was at WNBC in New York, and it was a 15-credit internship. I spent an entire semester at home going every single day to work at WNBC in their advertising and promotion department. And that experience led me to my very first job. Granted, it wasn't actually what I wanted to be doing with my life, so I kind of took a circuitous route, but you know what? I've had some amazing experiences, and I do enjoy certain aspects of PR, and I guess in a way I have found my calling, and because it's a combination of like sales and pitching and all this other stuff. So,
thank you, UMass.
Thank you, UMass, because and Sut Jolly was my internship advisor. So thank you, Sut Jolly.
Thank you very much. Well, on that note, we got to get our son off to school.
Yep, and I got to meet my friend for some coffee.
And get our day started.
Exactly. Well, thanks for stopping by.
Stay classy.